Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Hey, North Point, I hope that you're having an awesome day. We are so excited that you've decided to join us online. Wherever you are, whether you're watching at home or in your car or at work or at school, wherever you are, I want you to know that you're not alone. You're part of a community that loves you, is cheering for you, and is believing the best for you. So don't do life alone. Get involved. It doesn't matter where you live in the country or even the world. There's a way to get involved at North Point. You could actually text us right at this number, and we'll give you all kinds of information about how to connect, because we don't just want to be giving you information. We really want to go on the journey with you.
Yeah, you know, Destiny, we have a mission here at North Point.
That's right.
And that mission is creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community. And community is such a huge part of that mission. And so you can get connected right now. You can join a group. Our groups are online through Zoom. You can get connected in so many ways. You can serve on our virtual team, our virtual front row team. So many different ways to get connected and to be a part.
And actually, the first step with that is Growth Track. And what's great is that Growth Track is also virtual. So if you want to learn more about the church, if you want to learn more about how to get connected, that is totally your first step. Well, I'm excited to be preaching with you again in this year of application, as we're learning how to lead ourselves and others better. And we're really going through our house habits, which are these practices that we have said are going to determine the way that we behave among each other, but also the way that we behave just in our own homes and in our own context. And so we hope that each of these habits will teach you more about how to follow Jesus, but we'll also teach you more how to love others, because it's the same thing. Following Jesus requires us to love others.
You know, and as we talk about our house habit today, we're going to be talking, we love big, which
we
is your
big.
Your favorite
it's
house
my favorite habit.
And look, I even wore my shirt. It's all love. Shout
it's
out to Rashad Johnson and all the work that he's doing in our community to share that love, taking that action of love. And as we talked last week, we talked about that love is a mindset, love is an action, love is a habit.
That's right.
And as we kind of bring our core verse for this concept is in John 3:16 that says, "For God so loved the world." And what do we say here about so love? That so love is
big love.
God had so much big love for the world that He gave His one and only Son, that no one should perish, but that everyone should have eternal life. But out of that big love that God has for us, He has commanded us to also love others. And so we're looking at John 13, verse 34, and Jesus says, "So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." So what we see is that God loved big.
That's right.
We know that Jesus loved us big, being obedient all the way to death and death on the cross. And now God has challenged us and commanded us to love those around us the same way that He has loved us.
Absolutely. So when we talk about loving big, we don't want to just kind of break that down.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Because we don't just want to love.
Yeah.
We want to love big.
Yeah.
We want to love extravagantly the way that Jesus has loved us.
Yeah.
You know, I love that. I love that in the commandment, it doesn't just say love others.
Yeah.
That was the old commandment.
Right.
Love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But that means that you're limited by how well you could love yourself.
That's right.
And that can be a challenge. But instead, it's love others the way that I have loved you. And God has loved us without limit.
Yeah, so
good. God has loved us so well.
Yeah.
And that's the way that we are to love others. So the first thing about big love that you need to know is that big love is bold love. Big love is bold love. The definition of bold is showing or requiring a fearless, daring spirit. Now, there's lots of definitions, but this was the one that I just felt like fit so perfectly. Showing or requiring a fearless, daring spirit. Oh, I know that that's the kind of spirit that we have to have if we're going to love big. And the Bible tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear,
that's right,
but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And when our identity is secure in Him, when we're not looking for other people to respond and to give us, you know, something that we need as far as security and things that we can only get from God, then we can have the boldness to be able to love big.
Yeah. You know what? Bold can also mean disproportionate or out of the ordinary. And for example, you know, whenever you talk about a bold color or a bold print,
that's
right?
A bold color. We
say, this is bold. You know, that's why that's why I chose it today, because it's not just, is it, it's all love, it's bold love, right?
Yeah.
And that's part of it. Like it's out of the ordinary. And things that are out of the ordinary, they stand out.
They do.
And that's why Jesus says, when you love like I have loved you, then everybody's going to know.
Wow.
They're going to know that you belong to me, because this love, it's not going to be natural, normal, earthly love.
No.
It's really going to be supernatural, abundant, overflowing love. It's
so
going
good.
To be a bold love. And God has called us into this kind of love.
Yes.
This kind of big, bold, crazy, loud kind of love. And I love this verse in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus is teaching and preaching in the Sermon on the Mount. And I don't know if there's anything more challenging than what Jesus says here in verse 43. He says, you have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For He gives His sunlight to both the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you only love those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else?
Wow.
Even pagans do that, but you are to be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect.
What a beautiful thing. Bold love requires that we even love our enemies. That's an amazing thing.
Yes.
It's because there are enemies for a reason.
Right.
Right? There are enemies because we have a feeling against them, or they have done something, or we think they... I mean, there's a reason that they are our enemies. And bold love requires that we love them. And I love how that ends, because it says, but you are to be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. So many times I've heard that verse quoted, Philip, when it comes to keeping the law, keeping rules and regulation,
that's right.
Making sure that you do certain things. But that's not the context at all.
No.
Instead, it's saying, be perfect, love perfectly.
Yeah.
Love everyone.
Yeah.
Love your enemies, even people who have done you completely wrong.
Yes.
For no reason.
Yeah.
Pray for them. Pray for them and truly love them. And I love the way that it tells us other people, if you just are good to your friends, that's not special.
Right. Loving your family and your close friends.
That's not special.
No.
At all.
No.
In fact, it's quite ordinary.
Yeah.
And it's not big love.
Right.
I mean, we definitely should do that.
Yeah, of course.
We should love our families.
Well, I hope so.
And we should love our friends.
I hope you love your husband.
We should care for them. I do. I love you. But, you know, we should do those things, but it's more than that.
Yes.
It requires something that is disproportionate. I can't imagine anything that's more disproportionate than loving your enemies, doing good to those who have treated you poorly. And, you know, God loved us so disproportionately.
Yes. Yeah.
Because He sent Himself into the world in the person of Jesus to die. And the Bible says that He died for us while we were still enemies.
Wow. Yes.
That's incredible.
Yes.
That's something that goes so far beyond anything that I could ever imagine.
That's so bold.
But that kind of bold love is transformative. Mm. And when we choose to love those around us the way that Christ has loved us in a bold way, it literally can transform people's lives.
Absolutely. And so you have that big love. It's bold. And the next thing that big love is it is intentional. And obviously people now are saying, oh, that it's an acrostic for big. Well, of course it is. It's bold love. And then it is intentional love. You know, love doesn't usually happen accidentally.
No.
Love usually happens intentionally. And whenever we begin to move into this type of love, you know, I think sometimes maybe even for people who say, where, you know, we talked a little bit last week, you know, about it's a feeling, right? And there's some people that just aren't as loving, right? And not as feely, right? And I think I would be included in that category. But love is not based on a feeling. Love is based on an action. And all of my actions are intentional.
Right.
So I'm not just going to fall into this action of love accidentally. It's not going to happen automatically. It's not even going to happen because I would like it to happen. Mm. It's going to have to be intentional in my life.
Absolutely. And you know, we hope that there are lots of spontaneous acts of love, but they still have to be intentional. You know, I can remember when Philip and I first got married almost 17 years ago, which is crazy to think. But almost 17 years ago, I made the mistake of complaining to my grandmother about my husband. Mm-hmm. I was just kind of whining and, you know, just kind of griping. And
I don't know what there was to gripe about.
I can't imagine. Anyway, I was whining and I was kind of griping. And she said, well, it sounds like you're not being a very good Christian. And I remember thinking, what does that have to do with anything?
Yeah.
And I said, what do you mean, Grammy, I'm not being a very good Christian? She said, well, Jesus said that you were supposed to love your husband the way that he loves you, the way that Jesus loves you.
Yeah.
And it doesn't sound like you're being very patient or kind. It doesn't sound like you're believing the best. It doesn't sound like you're not keeping a record of wrongs. In fact, it sounds like you're keeping a record of wrongs. Mm. And I just kind of looked at her and she said, baby, most of the problems that you're going to have in your marriage are going to be between you and Jesus, not between you and Philip.
Wow.
Now, listen, we all know that there are exceptions.
Yeah.
We all know
that's right.
That there are abusive situations. And you should never allow anything that we say here to make you feel like you have to stay in an abusive situation. And in fact, if you're in an abusive situation, you need help getting out, let us know.
Yeah.
We want to help you walk through
that.
So don't take this and misconstrue it.
That's right.
But at the same time, this is just true.
Mm.
It's true, because so many times our problem is not with another person. It's with what God has commanded us to do.
Yes.
Because no matter how he is acting, I'm commanded to love him.
Yes.
Not because that's what a good wife should do, but because I'm a follower of Christ.
Yeah.
And his command to love others the way that he has loved me extends from my closest family all the way out to my enemies. And that kind of love just has to be intentional.
Absolutely. It has to be intentional. And then it takes us into the G for that big love. And that is that big love has got to be God-like.
Mm.
It has to be God-like. We're talking about standing in the gap. We're talking about taking the first step,
that's
initiating.
So
as we said earlier, God didn't wait for us to move towards him before he sent Jesus.
No.
He initiated this action of love. He took the first step towards us, and we have to be God-like in our love, taking that first step. And it is because he first loved us.
That's so good.
Right? Because he first loved us, he stepped towards us. And so because we've been called to love others, I don't wait for them to give me a sign or an indication. No, I want to move towards them the way God moved towards us. And we don't love because it's a fad or because it's the popular thing to do. No, we love because God has instructed and commanded us to love. And I love that Jesus here at this teaching, as the people are listening, he says, hey, you've heard it said to love your neighbor.
Right.
And it's okay to hate your enemy.
Mm.
Jesus says, I'm changing the game.
Right.
No longer is that acceptable.
No.
From this moment on, you are expanding your circle to include everyone.
Yes.
Even that enemy, and you have to love your enemy. And so when we talk about that big love, we're talking about that God-like love.
Absolutely. But we all know that there are hurdles and obstacles to loving the way that God has called us to love.
Yeah.
There's many of them. You're probably thinking of some right now. And I encourage you, wherever you are, take notes. You know, we don't want to just absorb information passively. You can take notes. You can put notes in the chat if you're watching on your phone or whatever it is. But really try to engage with this material, because I think it's going to help you in your pursuit of learning how to love others the way that Christ has loved us, which is a lifelong lesson.
Yeah.
We all can learn how to do that better. But there's some hurdles that we encounter, Philip.
Yeah.
And those are challenges that every single one of us has to face. And I love what you said. Jesus said, it's been said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But Jesus came to bring something completely new.
Yeah.
Jesus came to bring a completely new paradigm
for
the way that we related to God and the way that we related to each other.
Yeah.
And these hurdles that we are talking about, Jesus has overcome them.
Yeah.
And he has given us the power to overcome too.
Mm.
And so these are obstacles in our path that can keep us from loving big, that can keep us from loving fully. And let's just kind of go through them and talk about these challenges.
Yeah, the first hurdle that we're going to face is in our differences. Mm-hmm. It's in our differences. When you start talking about skin color, nationality, language, ethnicity, it is in these differences that we can find a hurdle. And a common temptation is to judge people based on our differences, right? We as human beings want to reject what we don't understand.
Right.
You know, and so this is actually where the word prejudice comes from, right? The word prejudice is actually means to prejudge, that I have a judgment about you based upon your religion, based upon your ethnicity, and I prejudge you. But this is what I've discovered. When I'm judging somebody,
right,
I am judging them off of the difference and not the commonality.
It's so true.
Difference pushes us apart. If I ever do it based on our commonality, what's going to happen is we're going to come together.
Right.
There's so much more that we have in common than we have difference.
Yes.
Right? But it's the difference, it's our differences that becomes this hurdle in our relationship. And it's the difference that can many times keep me from loving you big.
Absolutely. We all know it's easier to be around things that are familiar.
Yeah.
You know, the concept of being homesick, right?
Right.
Sometimes it's not because you really miss the people at home. It's just you miss the familiarity of the things that you're used to.
That's right.
And we can go into a situation or we can encounter people that we're not familiar with.
Mm.
And that's why it's so important that we grow our table. That we invite more people to our table who are different from us, so that we can learn, so that we can grow, and so that we can learn how to love everyone around us with the same kind of love that God gave us. Think about this. There is no difference that you have with any human on this planet that is bigger than the difference that God had with you. There's no difference that is bigger.
That's true.
Than the difference between you and God.
Mm-hmm.
And yet God's love was able to bridge that difference.
Wow.
And he made a place for you at his table.
Yeah.
So what person on the planet can't have a place at your table?
Mm.
Why wouldn't everyone be invited to be at the table? And this is challenging because we're thought oftentimes to fear differences. We're taught oftentimes to believe that differences make us unsafe.
Yeah.
We're taught all kinds of different things, but when we choose not to have that spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, when we choose to be bold, then we can overcome our differences and instead start to appreciate them.
Yes.
We could appreciate our differences and focus on our commonality because we all have this in common. We all were so loved by God. Every single person you encounter was so loved by God that Jesus came and died for them.
Mm.
That's enough of a commonality for anyone to have a place at the table.
You know, and whenever we think about those differences, this is what we say all the time, that you always find whatever it is that you're looking for.
So true.
If you're looking for differences, you're going to find them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're looking for the commonalities, mm-hmm. right? If you're looking for what is the same, as we talked last week, that people are, they're all loved by God. They have hopes and dreams that are equally valid as my own, right?
Yes.
And whenever I find that commonality, man, it's a way to bring us together so that we can have that big love. But we've got to get over that hurdle because
mm-hmm.
differences, they're really there. There are differences. But if we choose to see something else and focus on something else, it will help bridge that gap. And so that's the first hurdle, is our differences. The second hurdle that we have to get over is our preferences.
Oh, that's a big one.
Our preferences is just what we like.
Absolutely.
It's what we prefer. And there's nothing wrong with having preferences.
No.
There's nothing wrong. But there is a problem when we elevate our preferences over people. When we love something more than we love someone.
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing is that sometimes we can make our preferences holy.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
My mom used to say, don't make your opinion holy.
Yeah.
Don't hold your opinion in such high esteem.
Hmm.
Understand that you could be very wrong. One of the things I love to do is go back into history and look at the things that very intelligent, brilliant, often godly people believed that were just wrong. They were just completely wrong. You can see it in the Bible.
Yeah.
Every time that God shows up, people miss him.
Yeah.
Why? Because they believed he would have shown up in a different way.
Wow.
They believed he would have said it a different way.
Wow.
Our preferences can get in the way of us seeing people the way that God sees them.
Yeah.
Our preferences can get in the way of us seeing God the way that he wants to be seen.
Yeah.
Our preferences, when we make them holy, they really separate us. You know, Philip and I are about as different as two people could be. even though we've spent literally almost a quarter of a century together, if you count dating and marriage, we still are so incredibly different. And our differences come down to preferences.
Yeah, that's right.
I like certain kinds of food that he still does not like. He likes certain kinds of food. No, that's not true. I eat everything. We have different preferences.
Yeah.
And there's a reaction that we can have to preferences, Philip, that we've kind of worked through.
Yeah.
Is you can see somebody who prefers something different than you, and you can go, what kind of person?
Mm.
Rather than valuing that person
and
engaging them in conversation.
Yeah.
Asking them about their thoughts, asking them about their opinions, and really learning from them.
You know, and, you know, it's so much easier to be a Pharisee, so much easier to act like a Pharisee than it is to act like Jesus.
It is. That's true.
It is so much easier to say, I'm right. That's right. You get more likes.
I mean,
you know?
Really.
It is so much easier to do that instead of doing what Jesus did. But Jesus said, hey, I want you to love others the way I have loved you. I am coming to set the model. I am coming to be the example.
Yeah.
Follow my example. Be my disciple.
So good.
And so we understand I have to be willing to put my preferences to the side, whether that's a theological preference, a political preference, or whether that's a lifestyle. I've got to put my preference to the side so that I never put my preference over people.
Right.
Jesus came for people, not for preferences.
Right.
Jesus shed blood for people, not for preferences. So I have to be willing to put my preference to the side so that I can see the people, so that I can love the people the way that God wants me to love
them.
And
what'll happen, Philip, is we can take our preferences and put them as qualifications for God's love and for being a part of God's kingdom.
That's right.
And we saw that a lot in the last election cycle. It was really interesting.
Yeah.
People saying things like, you can't be a Christian and be a Republican. You can't be a Christian and be a Democrat.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? That's not the point. Yeah. The Bible lays out the criteria for Christian.
That's right.
And it's believe in Jesus, accept him, confess him, and then begin to follow him. That's the criteria for being a Christian. Mm. And we have different political preferences, different views, different all kinds of different things like that. But there's something that unites us that's higher.
Mm.
And as a church and as a community here, we've decided that that love that we have for each other and that mission that we have to achieve together is going to be bigger than our preferences.
Absolutely.
But that's a choice.
Yes.
And it's an obstacle that we have to overcome if we want to choose to love the way that Jesus is loved.
So the people in our neighborhoods, we're going to have some differences.
Yes.
The people in our neighborhoods, there's going to be some preferences that aren't our preferences, right? And then here's the third hurdle that we're going to have to overcome, and that is our experiences.
Wow.
Our experiences, it's just what we've been through.
Right.
It's what we saw. It's what we were raised in. It's our moments of pain.
Wow.
Our moments of disappointment. It's those times that we were betrayed. It's those times that we were hurt. It's the events that caused us to lose trust, that caused us to lose hope. And these are very real things in our lives that we have to work. We have to acknowledge and we have to work to get over so that we can love others. Because what will happen is after I've been hurt really bad, after people have disappointed me, what I start saying is, I'm never going to trust anybody again.
Wow.
I'm never going to get hurt like that again. I'm never going to give anybody a chance to do to me what they did. And so what happens is then we stop loving big.
So good.
Because of our experience.
Yeah.
But I don't get that option.
No.
Jesus didn't give me the option saying, oh, wow, okay, well, you were disappointed in your past. Somebody didn't do what they promised they were going to do. Oh, well, you don't get the option not to love big. We have to continue to love big. And one of these hurdles we have to get over is this hurdle of our experiences.
Absolutely. You're not required to enter back into a relationship with a person who has abused you and has treated you terribly.
No.
You're not required to do that. That's called reconciliation.
Yeah.
It's something completely different.
That's right.
But so many times what happens is that we've had an experience with one person and we translate that into holding everybody at arm's length.
That's right.
And not loving other people. And instead just going, well, I'm just going to take care of me and mine, and I'm not going to worry about, you know, really having my heart open. We'll hear people tell us things like, well, you just don't understand what I've been through.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm
that's
so right. sorry for yep, what you've that's been right. through.
Yes.
I want you to hear from me.
Yes.
What you went through was wrong, and I'm so incredibly sorry. But what I believe and what my Bible teaches is that Jesus wants to heal you.
Mm.
He wants to take your pain and he wants to heal you and make you whole so that you can live a full and loving and purposeful life.
Yes, yes.
See, our experiences aren't excuses.
Mm.
Instead, our experiences are a reason to run to Jesus and say, I can't love right now because I am so hurt. Can you heal me so that I can have a heart that is full and ready to bring people into it? Mm. And he's not going to push you away.
That's right.
He's not going to reject you. He's
That's
not
right.
going to call you weak.
That's right.
Instead, he will meet you exactly where you are in the pain of your experiences.
Yeah.
And he'll walk you through and he will love you so well.
Yeah.
And he'll teach you what it is to love others.
You know, and really when you talk about that, Destiny, the Spirit of Christ is operating on the inside of us. And we think about what Jesus went through here on there. Jesus had some bad experiences. Jesus had people that refused to believe in him, people that mocked him, people that hated him. He was betrayed.
Yeah.
He was denied. Mm-hmm. He went through all this. And I am so glad that Jesus didn't use that as his excuse to give up on humanity and say, well, I guess they're never going to get it. No, that's not what Jesus did.
Yeah.
Jesus had to get over the hurdle of his own experience to love us the way that we can sit here right now in February of 2021 and say, we are so loved by God. And that's because Jesus got over those experiences and he went all the way to the cross to love us so well. And following that model of Jesus, that's what we have to do. Were you hurt? Yes. Have you been betrayed? Sure. The people let you down? Absolutely. But we have to continue to love big the way that God has loved us. And, you know, we see this in the Bible. You get into the book of Acts, right? And as you get into the book of Acts, you're talking about the birth of the early church, right? Things are beginning to happen. And you had Jesus telling his followers in the book of Acts, and he says, hey, you need to stay here in Jerusalem.
Right.
You need to receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to give you power to be my witnesses. He said, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the utmost part of the world. Now, the thing about Jerusalem is there was a lot of commonality there, right? There was a lot of people that kind of had the same preferences, right? There was a lot of people. But then he said, Samaria?
Oh.
Judea?
Right.
The world? Whoa, Jesus, wait a minute. You're going to send us to people who don't look like us, don't believe like us, don't have the same preferences in what they eat and how they cook their food and all the things, and you're going to send us there. And we see this beautiful story in Acts chapter 10, when a Roman military officer by the name of Cornelius, the Bible says he was a God-fearing man. He has this encounter with the angel. Mm-hmm. The angel tells him, Cornelius, you need to send for Peter, have Simon Peter come. He has a message for you. And that's exactly what he does. He sends some of his troops there. They get Simon Peter. And the Bible says that as Simon Peter's on the way, he's trying to figure out what's going on. He has just had this vision of all these animals. God tells him, kill and eat. And he's like, oh God, I'll never eat these animals. These are forbidden according to our Jewish law. He has this vision three times. He's trying to figure out what's happening, I don't understand. They come and get him. And on his way, he's thinking about this vision. And he's saying, okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, God's changing the game here. And he shows up at Cornelius' house, and I love it. He says, you know, Cornelius, the law, the Jewish law, it wouldn't even permit me to come into your house.
Wow.
I shouldn't even step foot in your home. He says, but I think God's up to something.
Come on.
I think God's doing something
so
here.
Good.
And he goes into Cornelius' house, and everybody is waiting. They're waiting on this message from God. Mm. And the Bible says that Simon Peter begins to share of the grace of God, to share the good news of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins, the wholeness and the healing and everything that comes from Christ. And as he is sharing, the Bible says the Holy Spirit falls on them. They begin to speak in other tongues, and they turn around and say, well, I guess if they've already had this experience, we should baptize them in water. I guess they're in our family. Family, right? And here they were with so many differences, with so many other preferences, with experiences that Peter had never had.
Right.
But man, whenever he realized, wait a minute, God is up to something.
Right.
God is teaching us. God is pushing us out into that Judea, that Samaria, out into the world where it's different and there's preferences and there's experiences that I've never had and I don't know. God is pushing us out into that place. What a beautiful, beautiful picture of the love of Christ and the journey that
so
we
beautiful.
All have to go on.
It's so beautiful. It just tells us again that Jesus came to create something completely new.
Yes.
Because before Jesus, under God's own law, differences, preferences, and experiences were all good reasons not to love.
Yeah.
Good reasons
That's
to
right.
exclude people from the table.
That's right.
Good reasons to say you don't belong.
Yeah.
But after Jesus,
come on.
He took that away. And he said, no, differences, they're not going to matter anymore. We're going to value those. God created each of us different
absolutely.
And beautiful and wonderful.
That's
and we
right.
should recognize those differences and value them. But they're not going to be an obstacle anymore to who belongs.
No.
Our preferences, no, you got to jump over that.
That's right.
Instead, focus on my truth and focus on what you have in common. And and then experiences, your experiences, my experiences, they don't have to separate us anymore. Instead, we can be united by the common experience of following Jesus. Mm. You know, you're surrounded every day by people who are hurting, by people who are having great lives, by people, just human beings who are loved by God, who have dreams and hopes that are equally as valid as your own. And every day you are surrounded by them, and you have a choice whether you're going to see them as that or whether you're going to see them as objects and obstacles, things that you have to overcome.
Yeah.
See, people aren't the problem. These other things are the issue.
Yeah.
When we allow our differences, when we allow our preferences, when we allow our experiences to separate us from people, that's the issue. Mm. When we allow those things to turn them from being humans in our perspective to being objects and problems that we need to solve, that's the issue.
Yeah.
Because Jesus has commanded us to love others the way that he loved us.
Yes.
Jesus has commanded us to love our enemies.
Yeah.
Jesus has commanded us to do something completely new, to love boldly, to love intentionally, to love God-like, just like him.
And we cannot love big, as we just defined it there, if we don't get over these hurdles.
So good.
And, you know, we're closing out all of our Sunday messages with this lead acrostic. Because if we're going to lead ourselves well this week, there's got to be something we're learning, something we're evaluating, something we're applying. And so the thing that we are learning this week, our takeaway is I must be willing to confront my differences, preferences, and experiences to love big. I've got to be willing to confront them.
Right.
They are there. Let's don't live in denial.
No.
Let's don't act like we don't have them.
No,
these things are there. And we must be willing to confront those differences, those preferences, and those experiences to love big. Here's our evaluate. Which hurdle is the most difficult for me? Which hurdle? Is it the differences? Is that the one that's really tough for me? Is it my preferences? Maybe it's differences and preferences. Or maybe it's my experiences. I've had so many bad experiences with authority, with people, different things. And man, I've just been so hurt and so wounded. It's keeping me from loving other people the way that God really wants me to love them. Which one is it for you? You need to identify that. And then the apply is this. Do one bold, intentional action to love big this week.
Wow.
Do one bold, intentional action this week. You can do something this week to love your neighbor, to love a coworker. You can do something this week. Let it be bold and let it be intentional. And then obviously the D, every week, do it again. This is the process that we are in. Do it again and again and again. And as we begin to do those things, as we begin to put things into operation in this year of application, we are going to come out stronger at the end of 2021.
Absolutely. And we have a tool for you that we want you to download and fill out. I really think it's going to help you to visualize what it is to be aware of the people who surround you, and then to take action to love them, and then to make it a habit, just like we talked about last week, how to love them big. And so it looks kind of like a little map, a really simplistic map. And what's meant is for you to put the names of your neighbors, your physical neighbors, the people who live near you on a day-to-day basis, whether it's in your apartment or your dorm or whether you're living in a neighborhood. If you live in a place, don't get hung up on the details. If you live in a place where you don't have any neighbors for whatever reason, just think about your coworkers or think about the people that you go to school with. Write their names down, and this week put it up somewhere where you can see it and choose to intentionally pray for them. There is something so powerful about just being aware, just knowing the names of the people who are around you, and then beginning to pray for them and view them as people that God loves, that he values, and maybe that he has put in your life so that you could love big.
Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love. God, the big love that you had for us. And God, right now, we just open our hearts and we just receive that love right now. God, we thank you that we are your children, not because we said we wanted to be your children, but God, because you said we are your children. You are the one that loved us first. And God, we thank you so much for that great love. God, we want to love big. We want to love bold. We want to love intentional. We want to love God-like. And God, if we're going to do that, we're going to have to get over these hurdles. Help us, God. Help us to confront and get over the hurdles, God, that would stand in our way, the hurdles of our differences, the hurdles of our preferences, the hurdles of our experiences. Help us this week, God, to confront those, get over those, so that we might love others the way that you have required us to love them. And God, I just pray this week, as we pray for our neighbors, that you would begin to do miracles in their lives. As we are faithful to pray, we know, God, that you will be faithful to move, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, somebody put an amen on that. And I hope that you will be back with us next week as we continue to talk about these house habits, habits that you can just bring into your personal life, habits that you can bring into your home that will be pillars for you in building the life that God created you to live.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.